الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting with our talk, just a reminder for myself, for all of us, that we should on a daily basis read Durood Sharif. And we should try and read at least 10 times every morning, 10 times every night. And it doesn't take long at all. Just about not even 10 seconds it takes if we read the short Durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a person who will do this will benefit greatly from the intercession, the sifarish of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us all tawfiq. And then on the day of Jumu'ah, let us increase our Durood Sharif. Allah give us tawfiq, increase our Durood Sharif. Allah give us tawfiq to learn the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On a regular basis, we should try and be learning all the time the sunnahs of our lives, from morning to night, from birth to death, public or our relations, private our relations, all day we come onto sunnat. And that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blesses us with the love of the sunnat. Even if unfortunately we cannot be practicing some sunnat, but the love of the sunnat be in our heart. And then to practice upon the sunnat. That also we must make dua and an effort that we have the tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then to propagate the sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah also give us the tawfiq to make one of the objects of our life, namaz. That our namaz becomes perfect. Constantly we have this worry. How can my namaz improve and become a namaz which Allah wants from us? And we make dua and effort for the whole ummah also, that all of us come onto namaz. And then dua for our parents. We make regularly, every day at least once, we should make dua for our parents. And if they have passed away, to make isal istawab for them. And our asatiza and our mashayikh also. If we make dua for our parents and we make isal istawab, lot of barakat will come in our dunya. And if we make the dua and isali sawab for our asatiza and our mashayikh, lot of barakat will come in our deen. Allah will give us more the tawfiq to practice upon deen. May Allah Ta'ala bless us. Today the subject that I wish to speak on is on sins. Some of us pronounce it as sins, some of us pronounce it as sins, and it is dhamb, dhunub in Arabic. Ithm, asam, the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And two basic aspects. One is how, what sins are, how harmful they are. And there are many types of sins. So one particular type that also wish to discuss so that Allah Ta'ala protects us from this. Sins are really our greatest enemy. And if we in fact say our only enemy is our sins. All the harms that come to us, مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever problems come to us, it is because of the sins, the gunas, the dhunub that we commit. So they are our real enemies. We don't regard, we enjoy committing sins. Shaitan, he has this effect on us. Our nafs puts it, sins are very delicious, enjoyable. We want to commit them, but they are our worst enemies and they cause the worst problems for us in this worldly life also, in the akhirat also. So we have to try our best that we stay away from sins. And to stay away from sins, we have to make an effort that we build taqwa within us. Allah's consciousness, that fear of Allah Ta'ala, Not only that we know the presence of Allah, but the great qudrat of Allah and Allah's system of working. If Allah wants to, He can take a person to task for a small sin also. And if Allah wants to, He can forgive all His sins for no reason also, or for a small reason. So we have to fear Allah Ta'ala. We are not in control of Allah, not at all. There is no question of that. We just have to beg of Allah Ta'ala, and we just have to have hope in His great mercy and kindness. So, and the sins we commit because of our nafs and shaitan. Our nafs is there, and nafs, which is of this dunya, made of the things of this dunya, so it inclines to dunya all the time. The enjoyments of dunya, the benefits of dunya, etc. And the other major cause of our sins is shaitan. He has vowed that he is going to try to lead everyone astray. And he will come to us, he has vowed, from our right and our left, from in front and from the back, from the top and the bottom. Every way he's going to keep on trying. And he tries from the time a child is born and until a person leaves this world, till that time shaitan makes effort on a person. And shaitan is not our actual enemy. Our real enemy is our nafs. Shaitan, who mislead shaitan? There wasn't another shaitan. It was his nafs, that pride in his nafs, that how can I make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and a khayrun minhu, that pride that I am better than him. And this son also is so much in so many of us, that I am better than the next person. For whatever reason, shaitan puts it, our nafs puts it, that see, that person does this, he does that, I am better than him. I'm more intelligent, I'm more pious than him. So that is also one very big sin. So anyway, so when they make us commit the sins, and shaitan's work and nafs, that when we want to commit the sin, at the time when they instigate us, may make us to commit the sin, then at that time they tell us that it's nothing, it's a small matter. Or they tell us that you'll just make tawbah if you're a bit more conscious. That you commit this sin, Allah is most forgiving. You just ask maaf, Allah will forgive you. When you have committed the sin, then shaitan says that you, such a sinner, where will Allah forgive you? Now he makes you mayus, he makes you despair, that you won't get the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas the correct approach is, when the desire and thought of a sin comes, then we abstain totally from there. If perchance we did fall into the sin, then we don't despair of Allah's mercy and we seek Allah's pardon. All of mankind, jinnat, all of the sins, no matter of what magnitude, Allah Ta'ala in His one wave of mercy is enough to forgive all the sins. So we must never despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that if on the day of Qiyamah an announcement is made that all will be going to Jahannam but one person is going to Jahannam, to Jannat, then I have hope in the mercy of Allah, it will be me. And if the announcement is made, all are going to Jannat, only one person is going to Jahannam, I have the fear that it will be me. So like that we must have fear of the punishment and the wrath and azab of Allah, and at the same time we must have hope in the great mercy and forgiveness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala as well. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا. When a person commits sin, then it isn't this country that is our enemy. It isn't that nation that is our enemy. It is not that person that is our enemy. It is not this situation, but it is our sin. Allah uses some people who are more greater sinners to punish them, to punish those who are of the lesser sinners. So we, in our short-sightedness, we feel that this person is my enemy, or that country is my enemy, or this nation our enemies of Islam, etc. But actually, they are not our enemies, our sin. They are our zunub, our asam. These are our enemies. And we create our enemies ourselves. When we commit sin, we are creating our enemies. We are making our enemies. And then Allah Ta'ala, His system, He won't come Himself to punish us. But He will use some people, some nation, some occasion, some situation. And then they will come and they will make zulm on us. They will punish us. So we are actually the real sinners. In fact, to this extent, ulama give this example. There are two brothers, and they have their inheritance, what they have to inherit, and the one makes zulm on the other one, doesn't give him his share. He usurps it, and he takes it for himself. So that also, actually, if we go and see, this one, who we will call the mazloom, the oppressed, whose land was taken away, whose share, whose money was taken away, actually, he is the first sinner. He had committed some sin, and Allah used his brother to take this away from him. If we are clear, Allah protects us. We know in Surah Kahf, of those children, that the father had left shares for them, and the father wakana abuhuma saliha. So how Allah protected it? That share of theirs, it was buried in the ground, and the wall was falling over, and Khadir alayhi salam came, and he put that wall up to protect it. Why? The parents were so pious. So our goodness benefits us. Our sins harm us. Allah will use different situations, different occasions, but it is our sins. We are responsible. So if we can understand that our worst enemy are sins, and sins are various types. Sins which we commit with our hands, with our eyes, with our tongue, with our thoughts, in our heart, all the time. A person can be here now in the masjid, and we can be informed in sin. What we are thinking about at this moment, that we can be involved in sin. We can be in bed, we're sleeping on time, we're sleeping on our place, we are not delaying, we're not talking, but we can be involved in sin also. So the shaitan and nafs comes to us from various quarters and various ways. So we have to make an effort to first accept and understand that sins are our enemy, that we don't really regard anyone else as our enemy. Outwardly, they are our enemy, whatever they are. But it is because of our sins Allah brings this situation upon us. So we have to be very careful of committing any and all types of sin. We may have to be on our guard. Wadharu, protect yourself, stay away, protect yourself. Wadharu zahir al-ithmi, outward gunas also, which all know. Zahir al-ithmi wa batina, and the inside gunas also, which perhaps nobody knows about, but a person is in guna. A person might be looking that he's in great ibadah. He's got roza also, and he's making nawafil also. He's reading tasbih also. But perhaps what thoughts he's harboring in his heart. For what reason he kept the roza? For what reason he's making the nawafil? If it is for ghairullah, for name, fame, that is also a sin. So outwardly the amal may appear good, very good, but because of his evil intention, that is also a sin. And such a person will also wonder when difficulties, problems come in his life, from where did these problems come? Why are there problems? I'm so pious. But he doesn't understand, he's actually in sin also. So Allah has warned us that we must guard ourselves. We must stay away from it. And this can only happen when we are conscious of it all the time. When we are worried about it. If we're not worried about it also, how are we going to protect ourselves? So a person has to be conscious of his deen, the presence of Allah, the thoughts of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. That is one aspect. And then there are various types of sin. And every sin, so much so, that even bi-adabi, disrespect, is also a very, very harmful thing. That when a person is disrespectful, And what we learn from our elders, and hopefully it's beneficial to all of us, especially youngsters, when what we have got in our mind, our elders tell us something which doesn't make sense to us. We don't want to accept it, whether it's our parents, whether it's our asatiza, whether it's the elders, whoever it is, our sheikh, anyone who tells us, and we object to the person and verbally we tell him that this doesn't make sense, that this what you are saying is rubbish. If we think about it, it's also bad, very bad. But to speak about it, that is extremely dangerous. A person should control himself. He shouldn't speak back to his parents also. And more easily, we speak back and we chat back on at our mothers when they tell us something. The father, sometimes we are still frightened, but today, generally, even for the fathers, we are not frightened. But mothers, we are not frightened. Don't break their heart. When they are advising us according to their understanding, perhaps the mother doesn't know much about deen also. But she's got feeling for you. She's giving you some advice. And she's telling you that advice and you feel, I'm an alim, I'm in the fifth year, I'm in the final year, I'm a mufti, I know better. And you tell your mother some words and you break her heart. And she's telling you what her sincerity and what her love for you. That is very, very dangerous. If it is wrong what she is saying, then at a later time, explain to her nicely when she's calm, when she's cold, explain to her nicely. But never back chat. Never talk to them on their face. Whether it's our parents today, with ustads also, we don't care. We just speak anyway to our ustads. To any of our elders, Allah protect us. So anyway, there are many categories of sins, which ulama have written in detail. One is, which we all know, our own personal sins. For example, in namaz, where there is laxity, we are not making our namazes, we are not making them properly. We are lying, we are backbiting, rumor mongering, spreading rumors, etc. All terrible, terrible sins. But all these are sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those which are in the rights of Allah ta'ala, our ulama have written, Allah will show great, great kindness and forgive sins wholesale, which are the rights of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will forgive. But at the same time, we cannot take advantage of this and think, well, Allah is very ghafoorur raheem, Allah is arhamur rahimeen, He'll definitely forgive us. We don't know. Allah can take a person to task for the smallest wrong also that he did. Even his whole life he was pious, he committed one sin. If Allah wishes to, he has the full right. And we don't have any right to think we control Allah. We can do, let Allah do for us as we want to. Allah is Allah, He is absolute. And He's got no family and no relation with anyone whatsoever. If we read in the Quran Sharif, certain places how Allah Ta'ala sounds warning for Hazrat Nabiyya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when that is for Nabiyya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where are we? We stand absolutely no chance. So Allah is Allah. We just have to beg His mercy. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, we read many instances of on a small thing, Allah made maaf, Allah forgave the whole life's gunas. That is Allah's mashiyat, that is His wish. And He does it with whom He wants to. Now all the gunas of the whole life, and one little thing he did, and Allah forgives him. But the principle is not that. The principle is that whose sins will be more, they will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah, whose sins are more than his good deeds, etc. Then that is the normal principle that will go, whose good deeds will be more, whose sins will be more. But Allah will show His mercy also. And if Allah wants to, He can take any person to task for the smallest wrong also. So those are sins. And we should beg forgiveness regularly from Allah Ta'ala. And the conditions which are to be fulfilled in making tawbah and istighfar, one is that we come out of that sin. When we are making tawbah istighfar, we must not be in the sin. We must be out of the sin. Secondly, that we realize that what I did is wrong. That consciousness, that acknowledgement that I have done wrong. That today there is weakness, we want to justify ourselves. Even with Allah Ta'ala, we want to justify the wrong that we have done. that should know we are bandas, we are slaves of Allah. The example of that is on Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives that a king told one of his ministers to jump in the water, wet his clothes, but he must not get wet. And when he jumped in, and when he came out, and he asked him, why did your clothes get wet? He didn't say that is your head in order, that if you go in the water, your clothes must get wet. He said, make me mask. So like that attitude we must have. Not this that is justified, I couldn't help it, I couldn't, what could I do? No, I am wrong. And we ask for forgiveness. Allah's great mercy comes on that person, the person who acknowledges like that. And we realize it was a wrong. And for the future, we determine, I will never commit it. At that time, if immediately after that, again you fall in the sin. But at that time, when you are making tawbah, you determine, I will never commit the sin again. Even if you know, my weakness is, I fall in the sin again. But at that time, you determine, I'll never commit it again. And if there are some rights attached to it, We fought with somebody, we swore at somebody, we made ghibat of somebody, though there are more details of these things also. But basically, that we ask forgiveness from that person also. Then that tawbah is complete. And once tawbah is done, Allah forgives that sin. And then we are not to remind ourselves, and don't remember our sins. They are forgiven now, remember Allah. Allah didn't create us to remember our sins. Allah created us to remember Allah Ta'ala. However, when pride comes into us, and shaitan makes us feel, our nafs makes us feel, we are very pious, then give a slight thought to your guna. What didn't you do? You committed this guna, that guna. Where are you? So you thinking you are pious, you are thinking you are righteous. At that time, little bit remember the guna, but basically we should remember Allah Ta'ala. So the rights of Allah Ta'ala, those are sins that we commit. The rights of fellow people also, those are also sins that we fall in, and continuously, wherever we are. A human being, insan, is one who mixes with other human beings. We are not going to live on our own. We have to mix. Here in the madrasa situation, with students in the room, in the classroom, in the mess, everywhere. Whether we stay at home also. There also we are mixing with our house people. We are mixing with other people. No matter what situation, man mixes with man all the time. So there are hukuk of other people also. And we falter very greatly in that also. So that also we must be conscious and make tawbah and correct our matters with everyone. And make dua also that, Ya Allah, all my matters with you, correct it for us. Let my relationship with you be clear and proper. And with fellow beings also. And the other sin that I wish to speak about is the sin today that of changing the form of our deen. That is also one major sin. And many a times a person will do it as an act of piety, like bid'at. Bid'at are those things that a person does and he's convinced, I'm doing great ibadat of Allah. But bid'at are very, very harmful. And innovations in deen, bringing new things into deen, these are very harmful. And a person normally doesn't get tawbah also of making tawbah from these sins. Because he thinks I'm doing the right thing. For example, Masjid al-Dharar, which the Munafiqeen had built in Quba. So that was also, and they called it a masjid. But the Quran refers to it, Allah refers to it as Masjid al-Dharar. It has no relationship with deen. It is the antithesis of deen, the opposite of deen. But they call it a masjid. So much so that they wanted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come and perform namaz also there. And this is also why, not for barakat or anything, but just to get a stamp that it is authorized, that Allah's Nabi also made namaz, so it is all right. So all this kind of new things which are coming in our deen, and they use other people pious people, ulama, righteous people, just to be present there on any of the occasion, or just come there and they just say so and so was also here, just to get the stamp that this thing is also right. So we have to be very careful of this type of sins, that a person normally won't make tawbah, his whole life he will carry on. And we are actually changing the whole picture of deen, that what deen is, and we are presenting something new to the people, a new type of deen. We will call it also Islam. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ, a time will come on the people, لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُ, only the name of Islam will be left, but everything opposite to that will take place. It won't be Islam, it will be something else. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the deen by Allah is Islam, that Islam that Allah had given to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, a person who will seek any other way of life, or any other religion, any other way of life, not only another religion, but another way of life besides Islam, it won't be accepted from him. So we have to be very, very careful of this. And this new picture of Islam that we bring, and we try and promote it in the name of Islam, the easy example to understand it, like a person is getting married for any other occasion, and his bride-to-be sends him a pair of shoes. And she says, you must wear these shoes on your wedding day. And when he fits it on, it is too small for him. It doesn't fit him. It's too tight. It is too small. So will it be in any way permissible or prudent, wise for him that he chops his toes so that he makes his legs, he makes them shorter so that the shoe can fit in? Because my fiancé, my wife-to-be, she wants I must wear these shoes. Nobody will do that. You'll even wear your old shoes, but you won't chop. Today, as ulama have said, the mujaddid of today and the reformer of today, his work is to change Islam to fit the people, to fit what we say, our times and our people. Whereas the correct reformer is who changes the people to fit into Islam. You buy a bigger pair of your, a bigger size of your shoes. You have them stretched or whatever, but you don't chop your feet. So we don't chop and trim Islam to fit us. We have to change to fit into Islam. Everything of Islam we find very, very hard. Our lives have become such that everything is very difficult for us. Because, this is also an important point, that our mindset, our environment has changed completely. An example is given, which is just an example. A shepherd caught hold of a cub, the baby of a lion, and he brought it up with the sheep. And the cub eventually, in that environment of the sheep, they are bleating all the time, making their sound. The lion forgot his roar. He didn't know he was a baby. He grew up with them. So he also started bleating like sheep. Lion's food is meat. He eats meat. But yeah, he started eating grass, like those sheep eat grass. So one day, a lion from the jungle came and saw him, yeah, that he's staying with the sheep, which is a wonderful food for them, and ready-made food. He doesn't have to go and hunt it also, it's there. And that he has changed his language also. He doesn't roar like a lion, he's bleating like the sheep. And he's changed his diet also. The best diet Allah gave him, Sayyidu Ta'am Al-Lahm, the best of food, meat. Now he's not eating that, he's eating grass. What's wrong with my brother? So he told him, my brother, he said, you're not my brother. He said, these are my brothers, the sheep. So he said, he has forgotten his identity also. He doesn't even know that he's a lion. He's extremely ill. So he needs ICU treatment. So he said, come with me, I have to give you some ICU treatment. He took him down to the river, to the dam, and he told him, look at yourself. Do you look like me, the other lion said, or do you look like that stupid sheep there? So he saw, no, I look like you. So then he said, roar, and he's got it recorded, tape recorded in his heart, in his inside, the roar of a lion. When he roared now, and he realized I'm a lion now, and he got his identity, now will any sheep be left? He'll finish some for breakfast, others for lunch, and by supper none of them will be left. Now today we have forgotten our identity. We are living in a complete non-Muslim environment. We have put ourselves, we go on the internet, everything there, we follow their news is everything to us, even if it is like in our names news, but it is all their system. We call it Islamic, but it is all their system. So we have forgotten our identity. Today we don't see our success. Anything we think about, we don't think about it as far as akhirat is concerned. Dunya's things we concern. Whereas a mu'min will think of the command. What is the command? People want this, that I must speak, and man, woman, all want to listen. No parda, nothing. They want it, so give it to them. But what is Allah's hukam? What will happen on that in the akhirat? That we don't think about. So we have forgotten our identity. We have forgotten who we are, our language. Today our success is in university degrees, whereas our success, if we have, it's a deen, is in Quran and Hadith. In the depths of Quran and Hadith is our success. We will say it, but our conviction is more university degrees. More dunya we have, the more our measurement of success is on dunya today. Whereas in reality it isn't. So we have changed the value. So this is a major sin which we are all getting entrapped in, and we won't make tawbah also from it because we are convinced it's the right thing. So this is a very serious guna, and we have to be very careful of that guna, and we don't come across that Allah will forgive this guna also. That a person who changes the deen, our personal gunas, we have got great hope Allah will forgive. Even huququl ibad, there is great possibility Allah will forgive. But when we are changing the deen of Allah, what is haram, qat'i haram, we declare it not only as halal, but we promote it also. And we condone it, and we say it is jayz. This is very, very dangerous for us. Allah protect us from all types of sin and give us His ta'at, His obedience, by which His mercy and rahmat comes down upon us. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.